Welcome to the Red Cloud Research Roundup. It's November 7th. This week, Managing Director and Head of Equity Research David Talbot joins us to provide his take on recent news in the lithium and critical mineral sectors that saw forced divestment of Chinese interest in three Canadian lithium companies. We continue to see lithium prices rise, with strong demand from the EV industry as production rates rise and ongoing production expansion at Chinese lithium converters. David says he doesn't expect demand competition to disappear anytime soon. More on that soon. But first, we're kicking things off with Timothy Lee, mining analyst, to discuss a resource estimate from Currie Rose Resources and drilling results from Luminex Resources. Tim, over to you.
Hello, and thank you for the warm welcome. This week, I will talk about two companies, starting off with Currie Rose Resources. That's CUI on the TSX Venture Exchange. Currie Rose is a Red Cloud investment banking client, and the firm owns shares. Currie Rose reported an updated mineral resource estimate for the Cambridge deposit located on its North Queensland Vanadium project in Australia. The resource estimate includes 61.3 million tons, grading 0.34% vanadium in the indicated category, and 144.9 million tons, grading 0.33% in the inferred category. As well, the deposit contains an estimated moly grade of 239.7 parts per million. This represents a substantial increase to the 2018 resource estimate. The previous estimate contained no indicated resources, and overall, this is a 238% increase in total tonnage versus that previous estimate. We note that the large project area contains significant exploration potential beyond the Cambridge resource, which covers only 2% of the property. Historic drilling has encountered the same mineralized horizon elsewhere on the property, demonstrating this upside potential. Overall, this is a major milestone for Currie Rose, as it establishes a large NI 43-101 compliant resource with substantial upside potential. This week, we also had drilling results from Luminex Resources, that's LR, on the TSX Venture Exchange. Luminex is a Red Cloud investment banking client. We have a buy rating and a $2.25 target price on Luminex. The results are from three holes targeting the Camp deposit. That's one of a cluster of deposits that comprise the Condor North project area. These three holes were drilled to infill the lower central part of the deposit. This is an area where the deposit thickens, consisting of sheets of mineralization. All three holes encountered numerous intersections of gold and silver mineralization. A highlight from the results is 14.6 grams per ton gold and 37.4 grams per ton silver over 5.2 meters. This thicker part of the Camp deposit consists of an irregular area measuring approximately 200 meters by 200 meters and remains open for expansion in multiple directions. Luminex has two drill rigs active at Condor North, further infilling and stepping out at the Camp deposit and testing the nearby recently discovered Cuius West and Ruiz structures that are located outside the existing resource. In our opinion, these are positive results that help infill the Camp deposit at depth, including intersections well above the resource grade. This should help upgrade the existing resource, and it further emphasizes the underground potential on the project, which is now a focus for Luminex. David, over to you.
Thank you very much, Tim. Now, today I want to discuss a couple things going on with the Canadian lithium and critical mineral sectors, both positive and very concerning, if not negative, and we will get to that. But first, let's start with the good news. Just a brief mention on lithium prices. They continue to rise according to Benchmark Mineral Intelligence. Chinese carbonate and hydroxide prices are up another 2.5% to 2.8% this week. Battery-grade lithium carbonate prices, they averaged over $75,000 a ton, while technical-grade midpoint was over and almost $72,000 a ton. Lithium hydroxide prices rose to an average of almost $75,000 a ton. Meanwhile, price highs were up and around $78,000 for both battery-grade LCE and for hydroxide. Now, 6% spodumene concentrate prices remain up over $5,100 a ton. So there is strong demand from both the EV industry as production rates are rising and from Chinese converters, which continue to expand their production capacity. As supply chain participants, they look to maintain or increase their market positions. So we don't expect any lithium demand competition to disappear anytime soon. On the stock front, we first wish to discuss Critical Elements. That's CRE on the Venture Exchange. We do not rate the stock, but this is an investment banking client of Red Cloud. Now, Critical Elements announced last week that it had received its long-awaited Certificate of Authorization, or CA. Now, this is for its 100% owned Rose Lithium Tantalum project in the prolific James Bay region of Quebec. This is a major milestone, and now it has all provincial and federal environmental permits and licenses. The project had already received the federal permits, and it's very well supported by local and First Nation communities in the area. The stock has reacted positively to this long-awaited news, and we believe it removes a permitting overhang on the stock. And it opens the door for project financing for near-term production, with plans to break ground in Q1 23. We like this name. We expect high purity, chemical, and technical grade spodumene production. And down the road, we might see lithium hydroxide production as well. The feasibility study demonstrates robust economics with an 8% NPV of $2.5 billion and 82% IRR at current prices lower than market. Now, Quebec is a Tier 1 mining jurisdiction, and Critical Elements has considerable exploration upside, both at the mine site and elsewhere in the district. Now for something a little bit more concerning, and we direct listeners to a sector note we published last Thursday. Now you can get that on redcloudresearch.com. Now our note is in response to the Canadian government ordering three Chinese firms to divest from Canadian lithium companies. Number one, Zengi Mining Investment was to divest from Ultra Lithium. That's ULT on the Venture Exchange, not rated, but Ultra is a Red Cloud banking client and the firm owns over 1% of the company. And then there's Sinomine Rare Metal Resources. They're to divest Power Metal Corp, PWM, which is not rated. And then Shengzi Lithium International is to exit from Lithium Chile. And that's Lith on the Venture Exchange, not rated as well. Now, this Government of Canada announcement comes just days after it introduced strict rules on foreign investment in critical minerals. As per the updated guidelines, significant foreign investments from state-owned enterprises in Canada's critical mineral sectors must go through a rigorous scrutiny pertaining to national security concerns and will only be approved on an exceptional basis. Now, this is likely a response to backlash against the government about last year's nearly $1 billion acquisition of Neo Lithium by a company in China, despite the fact that that project was in Argentina. Now, we underestimate the desire for protectionist measures covering Tier 1 Canadian critical mineral assets. But these new takeover rules apply to investment of any size. Incidentally, this news impacts a minuscule $1.5 million investment, equity investment, into one $30 million Canadian company with a Canadian lithium asset. And for the first time, the Canadian government is also blocking Chinese investment in Canadian firms that have critical mineral assets outside of Canada. So we believe this decision may lead to some unintended consequences. First of all, it removes an exit strategy for these companies. It may lead to fewer companies listing or co-listing on Canadian exchanges, and could lead to the redomiciling of otherwise good Canadian companies to other jurisdictions, potentially weakening Canada's mining industry and the dominance of the TSX and the TXX venture in the industry. It also might disrupt the way Canadian companies develop foreign critical mineral assets. We believe countries, including Argentina and Chile, aren't going to appreciate the fact the Canadian government is discouraging foreign investment in their countries. These new guidelines extend far beyond lithium, as Canada's critical mineral list has 31 minerals, including copper, graphite, nickel, uranium, and zinc. And now, while we're talking about three small lithium explorers, what if the target here was a copper, nickel, or uranium developer with large foreign assets? This move might impact support for Canadian mining companies by governments worldwide. So what happens when Canadian companies no longer get their permits granted by foreign powers? And then we're also glossing over the big picture here of China-Canadian relations, as this event is set to take the international stage. The Canadian government rebuke has already hit mainstream news in China, even outside of mining circles, and at least one Chinese company will be fighting this decision. This nationalistic pressure isn't just in Canada. It isn't a coincidence that Lithium Americas, a lack on the TSX, and we don't rate the stock, is a $4.4 billion industry leader, but they announced today they would be spinning out its two assets. Thacker Pass is a clay project in the U.S., and Cauchari Lithium Brine JV in Argentina, currently under construction, is a JV with the Chinese company. Now, this has been in the works for some time, and this will help LAC obtain U.S. government funding for its U.S. project. Now, I do want to speak about Ultra Lithium. Not rated, but as we said before, this is a company we work with closely at Red Cloud. The potential of getting 100% interest back on the project notwithstanding, development of its Laguna Verde lithium brine project in Argentina may be impacted. Now, Zengay, the Chinese company, was to earn up to 65% interest in the project by paying Ultra $10 million in cash and spending $40 million on exploration, and those are in U.S. dollars. Now, fortunately, the deal is still within the 100-day due diligence period, so Ultra will not have to reimburse Zengay for any of those sunk costs. But it does cause a short-term funding shortage, and it removes a useful valuation metric. The purchase suggested a $100 million project value. While we don't cover Lithium Chile, another company on the list, we do note that Chengzi Lithium did invest $28 million into that company, so we will see what happens there. But back to Ultra Lithium for a sec. Zengi's adsorption technology DLE process was to be used to develop the project. Now, the partners do have a good relationship and may be able to arrange a technology sharing agreement that doesn't impact equity interest in the company or the project. We will see. But we don't think this news is fatal for Ultra Lithium. And if it does get 100% interest in its project back, then the setback might simply be time, as we believe there are other companies out there that would be interested to partner up. Now, we would suspect that a technology sharing arrangement might mean that Ultra continues on its current development path without too much time delay. Ultra also retains 100% interest in two Canadian hard rock assets. A second deal with another Chinese company went away last month when writing was on the wall that the Canadian government wouldn't approve that deal. Now, this news doesn't seem to impact an existing Chinese-owned lithium tantalum mine in Canada. Sinomine already owns and operates the Tanco mine that returned to lithium tantalum concentrate production last year. Now, interestingly enough, Sinomine must walk away from a measly $1.5 million equity investment in Power Metals. The fact that it employs 130 Manitobans at another mine didn't seem to help with respect to its small equity investment. So let's leave it at that. You know, we believe this Canadian government decision to restrict Chinese investment in Canadian critical metals companies may lead to unintended consequences. It removes an exit strategy. It may impact the effectiveness and domination of the Canadian exchanges in the industry. And it may even drive Canadian companies overseas, potentially weakening the Canadian mining industry.
Thanks for listening to the Red Cloud Research Roundup podcast. We hope you enjoyed this dive into recent notable mining news. Remember, you can join us every Monday for new episodes. And as always, you can head over to redcloudsecurities.com for full disclosures and to sign up to our email list. That's it for this episode, and see you next time.